Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before we begin, just a little word. Because next Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship, Reverend Evan Yoon, who is on his way back to Korea from Kenya, will be stopping over in Singapore. And we have invited him to bring us God's Word to share with us his testimony as his encouragement. And because of that, we're going to combine tonight's message on Haiti, which means to be rash, and high-minded, which means to be proud, arrogant. Combine them together as one message tonight. Reverend Evan Yoon is a Korean. His wife is expecting their third child. They have two young children already. Now, why would a Korean living in Korea, Seoul is his hometown, would want to leave the comforts of home and to serve God in Kenya, knowing the difficulties? And yet this young man, since he was a teenager, knew that that was where the Lord wanted him to spend the years that he will get from God on this earth. As long as the Lord gives him breath, he knew in his heart of hearts that Kenya is his mission field. And so, would you bring your children since birth, 2 years old, 3 years old, with very, very little, if any, good hospitals, medical care, and yet that's what he did, and that's what he loves doing, and that's what he continues to do. Because we ask him, how long will you be in Kenya? As long as the Lord gives him breath and wants him to be there, he will be there. And so next week, Reverend Evan Yoon, a young man, maybe in his 20s, late 20s, he will share with us from God's Word his calling. And there will be PowerPoint to show some of the ministries. His wife is in charge of the kindergarten there. So if you can, please come. Bring your children also, if you have young children. This is the best time to cause them to realize that you don't have to be an adult to serve the Lord. As long as you are a child of God, you can serve the Lord wherever the Lord calls you. This morning we are going to continue our study on 2 Peter chapter 3. The title is taken from chapter 3 verse 1, "Stir up your pure minds." I'm sure you have heard of the saying, "Let sleeping dogs lie." Why do we let sleeping dogs lie? Because if they are sleeping very comfortably, do not kick them, do not stir them, do not wake them up, because they might bite you. Leave them be. Well, the Bible tells us, do not leave a Christian alone. Stir them up. Don't let them lie there and go to sleep, like a sleeping dog. Because the word "stir" there literally means to shake a person who is asleep. It is to stir up some water that is very still, very calm. Stir it up, trouble it, in other words. Don't just stir it mildly. Make sure you trouble it until the water becomes very vibrant, very alive. And so same with the person. The person is sleeping. Keep on shaking him, shaking him, shaking him until he wakes up. No matter how deep the sleep is, you don't stop shaking, because it's in the present tense. You keep on stirring. And that is not only the job of every, the duty of every leader of the church, but that is the duty of every Christian father and mother as well. The reason is we are very complacent. We are people who are very used to a particular routine. And sometimes this routine may not be very healthy, because this routine may be characterized by worldly criteria, worldly goals, worldly desires. Because all of us, in our own way, think that my way is the best way. I am the best father, I'm the best mother. The way that I bring up my children is the right way. The way that I run my life as an employer, as an employee, is the best way. And we think that this is the way for me. Peter says, stir up such people. Cause them to examine their hearts. There is a great need. For this was the purpose of his second epistle. He made that very clear. This second epistle, referring to 2 Peter, beloved, he was writing to Christians, not unbelievers. I now write to you with this particular purpose, which is to stir up your pure minds. That was the aim and the purpose of this epistle. He did not want any Christian to fall into a rut, especially if it is a carnal, worldly rut. We love to have a kind of a pattern or system. That's how we get our security. That's how we find stability in life. So and then we're people of routine. We wake up, we do this, we do that, and then we make sure that these are all followed very strictly, very quietly, very nicely. And we don't like people to ruffle our feathers, to change things. But Peter says, this is my calling. I deliberately want to stir you up. I don't want you to fall into a rut. He mentioned this also in chapter 1, verse 13. Have we forgotten? Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle, that is in this body, and there is breath in my body before I die, to stir you up. Same word, to stir up. And he says, using the same present tense, I will not stop. As long as I have breath, you may find me an old man, you may find me a nagger, but whatever it is, he does not desire any Christian to enter into a rut. Are you sure that the way that you are bringing up your son and your daughter is God-honoring? Are you very sure that the way that you are walking as an employee every day and you wake up on Monday and you just simply let the whole week just fly you by Monday to Friday, are you sure that is the way that will be pleasing in God's sight? If you're an employer, you have mates, you have people under your charge, under your care, are you sure that the way that you are looking after them is in accordance to God's word? That you are glorifying God as an employer? Are you sure that when you are enjoying your recreation time, that it is God-honoring? Are you very sure that if God were to take you home right now, you have nothing to be ashamed of? You can stand before God and God can just scrutinize your life from inside out, from top to toe, and you have nothing about you to change. Because every part of your life, from dressing, from speech, from thinking, from motivation, every relationship with my family, with my friends, even with my enemies, I'm pleasing to God. Are you sure? Because if it is not, then we need to have our lives stirred up. Our family life, our working life, our study life. You work so hard, you study so hard. What motivates you to study so hard? Is it just to get that A so that you can be proud of your A's? Are you studying for your parents? You think that is a good enough motivation that is scriptural? Are my parents more important to me than Christ? Does that not make my parents idols? Are my children more important to me than Christ? I'm prepared to do anything for them, but not for Christ. Are they not idols in my heart that need to be dealt with? Stir up. That's what the Apostle Peter says. I want to keep on stirring, stirring, stirring. Why? Because he knows there is a genuine need. Is there not a need? We live in a world that is extremely wicked. We live in a global village where the world is so tiny and so small. With a click of our mouse, we can search practically every corner of any continent on this earth. And we don't even have to leave our rooms, our homes. We just sit there and we can survey the world. Literally, you just look at Google Earth. The earth is at your feet, at your fingertips. Any part of the globe, you can go to Antarctica, you can go to the South Pole, North Pole, any part of the earth, you can just Google, you can zoom in, you can scrutinize, you can see anything. Is that not true? This is the world that we're living in. And we think that we are the masters of the universe. We are the captain of our own soul and our own lives. And I want to take control of my life. And whatever you do, I don't care. I know what I'm doing is right. And my way is the way. Are you sure? There is a real, real need for us to be stirred up in our lives. All of us without exception. And let it begin with the leaders. Let us check our lives, check our relationship between husbands and wives, between parents and children, in our workplaces. Every aspect must be carefully, carefully examined and scrutinized, because the Lord is coming. If He doesn't come soon, we could leave this world anytime. Any one of us can just be called home to God without exception. Whether you are physically healthy or not, it does not make a difference. When it is time to breathe our last breath, we breathe our last breath. Whether it is in the minefield, the mine collapse on top of you, or it could be an accident, in inverted commas, no accident in the believer's life. However, are you ready? Examine every part of your life, because the stirring involves every part of your life. No exception. Are you so sure, as parents, you are bringing up your children in the fear and nurture of God, that there is no need for improvement? No need to direct and guide them in a closer way, in a more godly way. Are you sure? Because the Bible tells us that this stirring up involves only Christians, because the stirring up there, pure minds. This is the addition that you do not find in chapter 1, verse 13. Just simply say, stir us up by putting us in remembrance. But in this particular verse, in chapter 3, verse 1, the object is mentioned. Your pure minds. The word pure, that means genuine, sincere, honest and true. So He is not asking unbelievers stir up their minds, because unbelievers' minds are filled with sin, selfishness, pride, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. All these cloud them, control them. Unless and until they turn to Christ and accept Him as Lord and as Savior, their mind will continue to be full of self and sin and pride. They will think that my way is the best way. I don't need Christ to bring me to heaven. I can go to heaven. My life is not so bad. I have done enough good works. I am no murderer. I am no criminal. I'm okay. I can work myself to heaven. God, you made a mistake. I don't need Christ. You have wasted yourself by sending your only begotten Son to save somebody like me who doesn't need salvation. That is not the mind that Peter wants to stir. Because it is not a pure mind. Only genuinely born-again believers can have a pure mind, because it describes a mind that is sincere, a mind that is unfeigned, a mind that is truthful, a mind that is honest, transparent. A genuine mind. Someone who dares to honestly have a close examination of his own heart, of his own soul, of every part of his life, and allow the Word of God, God's searchlight, to check every corner, and he has nothing to hide, because he knows that God sees everything, including the motives. Including the motives. This church has provided as much as possible, as many programs as possible for us to grow spiritually. From the youngest to the oldest, through the kindergarten, to the CMC, to the Sunday school ministry, to the children. And then when we have our Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship, we also provide children's program so that parents may come, and there are teachers, there are others, adults who love to be in the Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship, seated there listening to sermon, but because they are called by God to help us look after the children, so that parents may come and not be distracted when they listen to the evening message. All these are provided that you may grow. We have contact groups, we have fellowship groups, we have all the fellowship, the teens, the YF, as many age groups as possible, the adults and the golden years, as many as possible. Why? So that you will have your mind stirred up, your pure mind, that you may not forget who you are, that you are a stranger, that you are not someone who is a citizen that is of this earth. Don't make your home, don't build your castle on this earth. It will fizzle out. Unbelievers, the mind that is not clear, that is not pure, that is not genuine, they don't understand these truths. But those who are truly born again, you and I have no excuse. Because the Bible says we have pure mind. Our mind will help us to be honest with ourselves because we have accepted Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. We know that we have sinned against God and we know that His precious blood, the blood of our Savior, has washed us of all our sins. And this life is no more a life that I dare to live on my own. Because how can I, after I have truly experienced from the depths of my soul that God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, died for me. And therefore this life has been redeemed, not with gold, which is cheap, not with silver, which is even cheaper, but with Christ's precious, priceless blood. How can I who say that I have accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior, live any way I like anymore? We as parents, you have to direct and guide your children in the spiritual direction. Please. This world is getting from bad to worse to worse. The Bible warns us the world will get worse. Why? Because the world will get worse and worse in order to receive the Antichrist. And the only one who can protect our children is not the teachers in school. It's not the sciences, the philosophies, the computer engineering, and all the sciences, the words of man, because all these pertain only to God's creation. Only God's Word that can direct us to the Creator. And only Jesus Christ can protect our children, can protect them, can save them from this evil world. Nobody else. Please understand, don't teach our children so much so that they can gain the whole world and at the end of it they lose their own soul. We spend so much. We are prepared to bend backwards, wake up early in the morning to encourage them to participate in this CCA, that CCA, and we want them to go overseas to be trained and to come back with this degree, that degree, whatever for. If it is not to glorify Christ, what are we doing to our children? On the one hand, we tell them be spiritual, and then on the other hand, be as carnal as you possibly can. Where is the direction that we're giving our children that your life, if you are a Christian, my son, my daughter, must be lived for Christ? Do what Christ wants you to do, not to make money. Do what Christ wants you to do with your life. That is the best life. People like Reverend Eben Yun, do you envy him? A young man could know in his heart of hearts that this is what God has saved him for. Because when he heard the testimony of Reverend Mark Kim, who had been there for 10 years, the principal of BCA Kenya, with his two young daughters, the Lord wanted him to go there when he thought that he wanted to serve the Lord in Indonesia. He was studying Indonesian language. The doors were all closed and the Lord redirected him to BCA and he turned that place into an oasis. When he first got there, that piece of property was overrun with wild grass, lalang and everything. Then he prayed and asked the Lord to send funds. The Lord spoke to his heart. As long as there is funds in your private account, no funds will come. And so he emptied his whole account until he had absolutely no savings. He dumped it into the buildings to build up the buildings. And then he prayed. And then the Lord answered. The Lord started to bring. Where the funds came from, he had no idea. He built the building one at a time. And the wife would devote her life to beautify the premises. She planted more than 1,000 plants in that premises. Bit by bit, bit by bit, by the time, I think now he's been there for what, 20 over years? Serving the Lord. His daughter went to school, carjacked once. 100 meters before he arrived home, Reverend Mark Kim himself was robbed. They look at him, "You have a kind face, we spare your life. But you give me all your money and your handphone, you can be on your way. Because the road, a lot of potholes, so you slow down as you arrive at the entrance of this walled up Bible college." Two men walk by the side. The moment you slow down, they just simply converge on one on each side. They took out the gun, He had no choice. He stopped, they got in, they robbed him. After that, you can go on. But he still served. They knew where the Lord wants them to serve. Do we? Do you? As parents, when our children are young, they need our guidance, our direction. They need us as parents to tell them, your life has been redeemed by Christ's precious blood. Live for the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants you to do, you must do. You must find out God's will for your life, my son, my daughter. And whatever God wants you to do, God will be there to help you, to guide you, to protect you. Mom and Dad cannot be with you all the time. But the Lord can. And therefore, you must look to the Lord. You must trust Him. You must lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not on Mom, not on Dad. We are only extras. When Mom and Dad are gone, the Lord will always be there for you. You and I must teach that to our children. Do we? Our pure minds are able to be stirred up so that all the good stuff may come to the surface. So that all the bad stuff, the evil, the things of the world may be removed. Only Christians with pure mind can have that kind of thinking, that can have that kind of sight, which is spiritual, the physical eyes can't see. Because to the believers, to us as Christians, heaven is far more real to us than what we feel with these five senses. Because the pure mind enables us to see into the past, the book of Genesis, how we all came into existence. How this world came into existence by God's spoken word when there was absolutely nothing before that. God brought everything into existence. That's how powerful our Heavenly Father is. And God has also revealed to us in the book of Revelation how His creation will also end up, how sin will end, how death will end, how evil people will end, how God's children will end. All these are also revealed to us, and this must cause our mind to become genuine, sincere and pure when we look at the circumstances around us, when we look at our children, when we look at our friends, when we look at the possessions and the responsibilities that we have in our hands, in our charge, and in our care. What are we doing with all these? We have to have our minds stirred up. Don't let into a rut and we think that this is my way is the right way. Are you sure? Because it is still not too late to turn it around. As long as there is breath, as long as your charge, your children are still with you, it is not too late to turn them around, to cause them to realize the spiritual significance and purpose of our existence. And do not allow the world to lull us into a sense of comfort, of slumber, of despondency, whereby we think that the rich life equals the spiritual life. The life of comfort is the life to seek after, because that's what Singaporeans are aiming toward. And we must not allow this to be in the hearts and minds of our children. And to do that, it must not be in our hearts and our minds first. Do we push our children towards spiritual activities like church activities with the same zeal and fervency that we push them toward their tuition? It is so shameful and so sad that we as parents encourage our children to have tuition on the Lord's Day. We don't even teach our children the meaning of keeping the Sabbath day holy. If not for any other legacy, at least leave behind some semblance of spirituality in the hearts and our minds of our children to keep the Sabbath day holy. Can we not just do one thing for our children? You plan for tuition, you plan for this outing, plan for that outing, as if Sunday is no different from all the other days. Is that what the Bible teaches us? That's why Peter says, I will keep on stirring your pure mind, because as Christians, you have a pure mind, you have the power and the ability to have that kind of clarity in your thinking. That's why he wants to stir it, so that you and I will not lose this sharpness, this spiritual clarity that must be found in our minds. Our heart is the motive for Jesus Christ. Good. Other passages will challenge our motive to make sure that it is always constrained by the love of Christ. But this particular passage challenges the Christian mind. Stir it up, Peter says. To what goal? To what purpose? By way of remembrance. He will use the way of remembrance to stir up the pure minds. Remember what? Not the words of man, not the opinions of man. Verse 2 simply describes for us the whole Bible. For he says, we may be mindful, same root word as the word remembrance, of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, that's the Old Testament, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, that's the New Testament. And so what we have in verse 2, basically the whole Bible. So he says, I'm going to use the Word of God by way of remembrance, reminding us through the Word of God, because the Word of God is powerful. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit, which is indivisible, because they are one and the same. Bone and marrow also in the olden days cannot be split, cannot be divided. Those are hyperboles to describe the sharpness of God's Word. Because when the Word of God cut the hearts of every genuinely born-again believers, Jesus promises, my sheep hears my voice. And my sheep will want to hear and obey the voice of the shepherd. And if you say you're a Christian and the Word of God says this, the genuine sheep will say, I want to obey. I want to obey my shepherd. Because every sheep will want to obey the shepherd's voice. That is the nature of things. And God, that's why, used that to describe us in relation to our Savior. Because the sheep will always hear and only the voice of the shepherd. It has been tested time and time again. When many shepherds and their flock have their sheep and they're all intermixed, all mingled together. And when this shepherd A says, it's time for me to leave, he'll just simply call his sheep. And somehow his sheep can just simply listen to his voice and they just moved out and follow the shepherd. Whereas the rest will remain behind because the shepherd is still there waiting, fellowshipping. And when it is time for them to go, the shepherd will call and then their own sheep will just simply come out of the mixture, the mixed group, and then they will just simply follow. That's why Jesus promised, my sheep hears my voice. And that's why Peter is not giving Peter's advice. He's not giving Peter's opinion. He says, my duty, as long as there is breath in my body, he desires to keep on stirring the pure minds of every Christian because there is a need. The Christians have the ability and says, I will do it by way of reminding all of you through the Word of God. Preaching the Word of God, in other words, through the Old Testament from beginning to the end. And the Word of God will keep our minds straight. It will cause us to search our own hearts, our own lives, inside out, and to make sure that we truly, one day standing before God, we have nothing to be ashamed of. He wants to make sure that that is true of every believer who comes into his life. That he will tell them. Nothing to be ashamed of between husband-wife relationship, pleasing to God. Nothing to be ashamed of between parent and child. Nothing to be ashamed of in my workplace as an employee. Nothing to be ashamed of as a student. Nothing ashamed of even in the face of my enemies who try their utmost to destroy me. Every area pleasing to God, glorifying to the Lord. Is this your state before God? This epistle was written for that purpose. Have you remembered what Peter mentioned earlier in chapter 1? He says, give all diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Do you remember that? Why? Because one of the things this world can do to us is to cause us to doubt our salvation. Because there are many, many voices out there today, especially in our age and in our time. Roman Catholicism, they call themselves Christians today too. No more separation between Protestants and Catholics. You want to practice biblical separation? You better do it now because you're not going to do it when you are being buried in Singapore. In the old Choa Chu Kang Cemetery, they have a very clear sign telling us this direction through the Protestant cemetery. in the other direction to the Catholic cemetery. But now in the new plot, that you go by way of this small little lane passing this place that we sometimes use, Garden of Remembrance. You keep on going, and then you turn right. They just simply put down there Christian Cemetery. And then you go there now, these are all brand new design, where they use concrete blocks. Last time they just simply dig and dig, and because they have to dig, the space between person A and person B have to be far apart. But now, because you use concrete block, they can pack them up and they can squeeze them closer together. Of course, they don't mind. They won't know the difference. It's just that it's very embarrassing in the old site when you're excavating, and then you excavate too close, you see the other box. That's why there is a minimum distance. But now in this new site, Protestants and Catholics are buried side by side. No more distinction. I didn't know that until when we went there to bury Angie's oldest brother. Because we went there ahead and I was looking for the Roman Catholic plot. Couldn't find it. They say it's the new site. So I drove to the new site. I thought that was where the Protestants were because Reverend Toh was buried there. I thought that was only for Protestants until when they arrived, they said that this is also for Roman Catholics. One and the same, no difference. But the old Roman Catholic, they still practice indulgences, they still consider Mary as a co-mediatrix, they still think that the Lord's Supper is transubstantiation, where the body, where the bread literally transforms itself and becomes the body of Christ, and the wine literally becomes, or the grape juice literally becomes the actual blood of Christ. All these, according to the scriptures, will not cause a person to be a genuine believer because the Christ he believes in is not the Christ of scriptures. And then we have all these mega churches proclaiming that Jesus Christ, when you believe in him as your Lord and as your Savior, you will never be poor again, you will never be sick again. It is the health and wealth gospel. The Bible did not say that Jesus Christ came to make you physically rich and physically healthy in this lifetime. They take the text, the verses out of context. When the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that by his stripes we are healed, did not say by his stripes we are healed while we are on this earth. By his stripes we are healed, yes. That is when we are in the glorified state, when we receive this glorified body that is powerful, that is eternal, that is spiritual, that's why we are healed, because by that time, in that state, diseases, death, all these will have no sway over us, no impact on the glorified body. So much so that when we live and exist in the millennium, where there is still sin in the millennium, there is still people who will die in the millennium, those in the glorified body will never be affected. Because Christ Jesus, by his stripes, we are healed. The Bible didn't say why we are healed on this earth. That's why we still fall sick. That's why the Bible recorded for us on many occasions, people like Job, he fell sick, not because of sin, but that was to strengthen his faith. The Apostle Paul had a thorn on his side to keep him humble. They twist the text. That's why it is so hard nowadays for us to listen to the proper gospel, the pure gospel, to be truly born again. So Peter warns us, just as he needed to warn his generation, give all diligence, or not most, all diligence to make sure that you are truly, truly born again. Your calling and your election, make it sure, make it certain. Because we live in a very sick and confusing world. Because the loser will be you. If you believe in the wrong gospel, thinking you are saved when actually you are not saved, they are not going to be affected. You will be affected. You die and you will not be in heaven, you will be in hell. In this tabernacle, Peter says, I will keep on stirring you up. I will not stop and I will continue to do it. And he did it until the day when the Lord took him home. He was crucified upside down. That's when he stopped. But as long as there is breath, he says, I will not stop. And then chapter 2, he warns us of the false teachers who will come into churches just as they came into the churches in Peter's time, and they are also found in our churches today. False teachers. But don't be afraid of them. They are wells without water. They will speak all kinds of words motivated by covetousness, and they will try their best with feigned words. The Bible warns us, right? With feigned words, make merchandise of you. Christians included, no exception, because Christians are very gullible. Very gullible. Don't be gullible. The Bible says, wise as serpent, harmless as dove. Right? That means you know all the nonsense of the world, you just don't practice them, you are as harmless as dove. But you must not be a fool. When you do business, let it be based upon business premises. Don't say, oh, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, never mind. That's how you get hoodwinked. Oh, you're a Christian? Okay, let's do it this way. You must do everything according to proper, godly, honest business criteria. Don't confuse the two. Please. If you want to base upon Christian principles, then don't talk about money. You want to talk about money, don't talk about Christian principles. Let us just simply be yay, yay, nay, nay. We agree on this price, we agreed on this price, these are the installments, we keep our word, we pay up, that's it. Everything done prim and proper. So that there will be no fools, no ruined relationship, no hurt relationship, no disillusionment. Because there are a lot of people out there. Feigned words make merchandise of you. But God warns us, encourages us, they will not escape. Chapter 2 warns us, they will be judged. Even when angels, God will judge angels. In Noah's time, the world was judged. The angels were judged. All of them were judged. You think these false teachers will escape? They will not escape God. They may escape the law of the land. They may escape the judgment of man, but they will not escape the judgment of God. They are deceptive, speaking great swelling words. They will cause even Christians to be entangled again in sin. Have you so soon forgotten verse 19 and verse 20 of chapter 2? While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants, that is, slaves of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Be very, very careful. Don't assume that what you are doing right now, every aspect of your life that the Lord has given to you, check them against God's word. And if there is a need to be changed, let us change. Improve a husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, how we bring up our children, direct them to the things of God. We first must take that step. Am I, my life, directed toward God, spiritually speaking? What do you buy? If I buy these things, will it enhance my service for the Lord? Why do you exercise, pop in all the vitamins that you take, paying so much money every month? Why do you want to stay healthy? Is it to indulge in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh? Then what is the point? You keep yourself healthy, you go to the gym, and you keep yourself trim and fit, so that you can be of greater service and be more effective for the Lord. That must be our goal. That's the pure mind. That's what we ought to do. You study hard for the glory of God, that people may see Christ, that Christians are people who work hard. Not for mom and dad, because when mom and dad are not watching, you're overseas, you play the fool. How many sons and daughters have played the fool? When mom and dad are not looking, are not watching, you waste their hard-earned cash. Because it is their duty to look after you, you cry. Yes, it is their duty, and they do it with love. But do you as a son honor them and not take advantage of their duty in inverted commas, in looking after you and providing for all your needs? Be a godly son, be a godly daughter, do what you ought to do. Remember them, honor them, pray for them. Talk to them kindly, gently, nicely. Don't be rude. Can we do that as Christians? Oh, I'm fine. Are you sure you're fine? You don't need to be stirred up in your relationship with mom and dad, that this mind can be pure. Is it really that pure? check against the Word of God by way of checking it against the Word of God, the Old and the New Testament. We all need that, without exception, because every area of our lives must glorify Christ. Sometimes we are taught, what is the will of God? Well, the will of God is 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 is God, 2 is who? Well, 2 are. 2 maybe for some, my family, my work, my church. Who is number 2? This list is nonsensical. There's no such list, you know that? Every area of our lives must glorify God. You cannot pit one area against another. You cannot say, all right, I'm going to be the best preacher, the best pastor in the church. And then you are a terrible father, a terrible husband at home. You fail. You must make sure that your service for the Lord in church glorifies God. You must make sure that your relationship between husband and wife glorifies God. If you have fathers and parents who are still alive, then you as a child, as a son, must be glorifying to God in your parent-child relationship. And you in turn have sons and daughters, then as a parent this time, it must be glorifying to God. You go out to work as an employee, it must glorify to God. If you're supposed to work, you work. You don't go and use the time you're supposed to work and go and preach the gospel. During your lunchtime, where it's your free time, you want to preach the gospel to your colleagues, by all means. As an employer, how are you glorifying to God in looking after the employee, their interests? Do you provide time where you share with them the gospel? You tell them about Christ. That is your duty as an employer. That is what it means to have our minds stirred up. Every aspect of our lives. Because God says, you have a pure mind. You can. And I want you to, God says. And Peter says, the Word of God is the instrument that God will use to evaluate and measure your mind and my mind, your life and my life. So, are there any areas that require the searchlight of the Word of God to check and to highlight, that requires fixing? Please fix it. For Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, stir up our pure minds, O Lord, by way of remembrance through Thy Holy Word, that none of us who name the name of Jesus Christ may leave this sanctuary not having realized there is so much in our lives that require changing, transforming, that it may be aligned to the Word of everlasting life. O Lord, may Thy Holy Spirit speak to us. May Thy Holy Spirit bring conviction, so that relationships in this church may be mended, may be drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, between husbands and wives, between parents and children, employer, employee, employee and employee, every aspect of our lives. May it glorify Thee according to Holy Scriptures. O Lord, truly, may this church be a church where the Lord Jesus Christ is highly honored and exalted by the way that we speak, by the way that we think, by the way that we are motivated, and by the way that we relate to one another, and by the way that we live. Help us, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.